Hey beautiful people, and welcome to a brand new episode of A Slice of Life with me, Jack Walton. Be sure to subscribe on both iTunes and Spotify, and follow me on social media, I am Jack Walton, to keep updated with new monthly episodes. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining me for a brand new episode. So it is now April, would you believe it? This is episode 4 of season 2. Guys, I really don't know where the time is going, it's just going so fast, isn't it? Right, so down to business. So number one, this episode is going to be slightly different in terms of where it's been filmed. So right now, we are actually in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic across the world. So we've been told to social distance and some people have got to self-isolate and things like that. Me personally, I'm actually working from home at the moment. So there's been all sorts of things happening. So basically, the building that I normally record in, the building's actually been closed, so I can't record in there. However, for future episodes, I have got a second studio lined up. But right now, it's very early days on into this situation. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to record it from home because I really just want to, I want to get this episode done, make it sound amazing. But I also want to stay safe as well. So yeah, that is why I'm staying at home for this one. So guys, I apologise if the quality isn't up to its normal level, but I really do hope you, I'm sure you will, just bear with me. And yeah, it'll be absolutely fine. Do not worry. So on to today's episode. Right, this is going to be totally different in terms of theme. I've got something really, really interesting lined up for today. Even if you're somebody who isn't interested in this particular area of industry, I really feel like it's going to resonate because there'll be lots in here in this episode that will, I'm sure, resonate on some kind of level. So that brings me really well onto this month's guest. So this month's guest is actually one of my closest friends. She's a very dear friend of mine, and she's actually been a listener of the podcast ever since it began. And I had an idea a little while back. I thought, actually, I really want to include this person because she's got a very interesting story to tell. It's very inspiring, and she's doing something that I think a lot of people will find really interesting. So without further ado, please let me welcome this month's guest, Polly Wadaker.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, what Polly. An intro. Hi, how are you?
Polly, is this your first ever podcast?
It is my second podcast.
You've done one before.
I have. Not too long ago. But yes, second podcast.
Oh my gosh, how do you feel?
I feel very excited. It's also still so new to me, so it's really exciting. And thank you so much for having me.
It's like a whole new world, isn't it?
It really is.
And also, I think it's a really nice distraction at the moment, isn't it, because of what we're dealing with. So how is this affecting you? Like, what's your situation right now with the corona situation?
Yeah, definitely. It's such a sad time for everyone. But yes, my university has been closed. So we are. It is so sad. But yes, I'm currently working from home, but it is the best for everyone's health, I think.
I totally agree. And I think, what better time to listen to a podcast, right?
definitely.
Like this week especially, I've got through so many different podcasts and like videos and things like that because I'm just having more time to listen to them. So actually, there are kind of some pluses coming out of this. We've got to focus on that, haven't we, as well?
100%, honestly. Yeah, I feel like now everyone's starting to stay at home a bit more, listening to a podcast, like reading a book, yes. Taking some time out is, yeah, I feel like it's a good time.
It is. So let's get into it. Let's get into what we're here to talk about today. So Polly.
Yes.
I would love you to tell me a little bit about how you came to be on this podcast today. Like, tell me a bit about, just to kind of give everybody an overview of your story. We'll get more into the details later. But honestly, then ultimately, Polly, who are you? It's a question I always ask. Okay, so they always, although we're in different locations, Dad, they always give me a look of like, well, you know who I am, but I'm like, well, I know who you are, but I want everyone else to know. So Polly, who are you?
I am a fashion design student and a model.
I love that. So tell us a bit about what you're currently doing. So in terms of your educational journey, what are you up to at the moment? What's your situation?
Well, currently, like I just mentioned, I'm working from home, but still carrying on with my studies through online teaching. And other than that, just Thank you. And other than that, just doing, I mean, I don't know how modelling is going to go with the current situation, but just sort of carrying on doing everything that I can and just supporting other creatives in this time, I feel like is really important as well. Just keeping everyone's spirits up.
It is. I was thinking that the other day, actually, that at the moment, especially, I think it's really important to support like independent businesses and
people that are going to
have some kind of effect as a result of this, in terms of like cafes and restaurants. I don't know if you've seen already, I was on Instagram last night and there's quite a few restaurants that I always go to and they are closing their doors until further notice.
Really? Oh dear. Yeah.
So it's really important to support. But in terms definitely. Of like, back to you and your course, so what course are you doing, what year are you in, like what kind of projects have you been working on?
So I'm in my final year of studying fashion design.
Wow.
And at the minute we're working on a sort of like extra project towards the end, like tailing off to finish in, because I finish in about 3 months, so it's just a extra project at the end about sort of like, it's more communication based rather than actually making the garments, but it's really interesting and I am actually really enjoying it.
So what's interesting here then, you are a model but you also design clothes as well, don't you?
Yes, I know. I do. I just love the fashion industry and I feel like, I just like experiencing, I suppose, like all sides really. It's nice to design the clothes and model them and just bit of everything.
That must be quite interesting for you, because you see all kind of spectrums. You go from the designing phase to the actually making it, to then you can actually model it and catwalk it. So I suppose you have more of appreciation about the industry, don't you, really?
Oh, definitely. You honestly, you're so right with saying that. It's so nice to see a design come to life, but through so many different angles. So like the model's angle and the designer's angle, it's just really interesting.
Yeah, because you almost see the full circle, don't you, of where it went from start to finish.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, the theme of this month's podcast is all about becoming a model. So I want to ask you to kind of take us right back to the beginning. Tell us about your experiences of how you actually got into this, because for those, there'll be a lot of people listening that will want to know, okay, so what, how did you become one? Because it's not easy, is it?
No, I definitely, there's a lot of ups and downs, but I feel like, anybody who wants to be a model, definitely just go for it. But yeah, like any industry, there's definitely ups and downs with getting into the industry.
Absolutely. So in terms of when you first started getting into this, how old were you?
I was thinking about this actually this morning. It was the year before university. So would I say about 17, 18?
Right,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, the year before university.
And how did all this come about then?
Actually, so as you know, like at college, I was studying fashion. So I already had a love for the industry. But actually, one of my mum's friends actually first mentioned it to me. And it was something I'd never really properly thought of before, but I'd always loved fashion and like design and textiles and being creative. But it all started from there, really. And yeah.
So do you know when you were like younger in school and stuff, what were your like aspirations then? Did you want to do anything in terms of fashion or modelling, or was it totally opposite?
I'd say modelling, like I said, I hadn't really thought of properly, but I knew I wanted to do something within the arts, like creative. That's why I went on to college to do textiles. Yes, yeah, definitely. I've always loved this industry.
So are you quite, in terms of that, you're quite an artistic person, or is it more creative in terms of like expression, or like, what area is it?
I think, well, it started with just taking the subject in school and just sort of running with it and finding out, like, you follow your heart and what sort of makes you tick, you know, what makes,
oh, that's so true,
you know, what brings that like fire in your belly. And yeah, I think so. It started with art and then I moved to textiles and then I found fashion through that. So yeah, quite creative really.
So I suppose really it was a very natural progression, wasn't it? Because you've always been into those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's such a good term to use. It was a very natural progression because I always knew I loved the creative industry and just wanted to sort of be a part of it in some way.
I love that. That's so nice. So I suppose one day it was right, wasn't it, that a friend of your mum's, is that right, came to dinner?
Yes, that is right.
Tell us what happened, because I think this is what is interesting. I guess to me, I would certainly say that was the law of attraction working for you. That was the universe, because this was quite an interesting set of circumstances, wasn't it? So tell us what happened with your mum's friend, and because really that was the catalyst for all of this to happen, wasn't it?
It was. He planted the seed almost, and I never really thought about it. But yes, he came round for dinner and just sort of mentioned it because he's a creative as well and works in the art industry. But and that's sort of where the seed got planted, and I started looking into it, and then and it just sort of happened from there. But I didn't jump on it straight away. I feel like I left it a bit just to let it all sink in because it was so new to me, everything. But happened all like that.
So for people, because I really want to get into the inner workings of that. So when this happened and you were given this idea.
Yeah.
But how did you feel in terms of, because I know it's different depending on what kind of personality you have. Did you feel anxious? Did you feel like you had the confidence to do it? What was going through your head when you were thinking, okay, maybe I should pursue a career in modelling? How did you feel about all of it?
It was very my head was a bit, I don't know, scrambled, because like I said, I'd never thought of it before. And I thought to be a model, you've got to be famous or, to start with. And I just didn't think it was something that I could do because I, never thought about it. And I didn't at the time. I just, I was sort of in college, a little I don't know, potato. I didn't really understand I didn't really understand the industry at all and everything. But I think allowing myself after that happened a bit of time to think about it and thinking, I love fashion and maybe I should just give it a try. And I think anybody wanting to be a model should just give it a try, because what's the worst that could happen? You just, if you've got a dream, go for it.
I totally agree. And I think, do you know what, we'll get onto this a bit later, but what I really love about the modelling industry now, from my perspective, is that it's so, so accessible.
And yes.
I love that.
Definitely, with social media and everything.
And it's not even that. It's the fact that now we've got plus size models, we've got disabled models, we've got transgender models, we've got all models from all walks of life. It doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair, if you're plus size or anything in between, everybody can have a go. I love that.
Definitely. I think the industry, that's what I love about it. It is changing and I love it.
It's totally different, isn't it, to say 20 years ago when it was Kate Moss and things like that.
Oh, definitely. And that's what I love. It's been a progression, but it's amazing. And like you were saying, everybody's represented.
And I think it's almost a lot of industries now, they've almost, if they wanted to or not, a lot of them have been dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century, and they've had to evolve, haven't they? They've had to they've had to start to adapt in order to keep the fans and the momentum, because people want to see diversity.
Yes, definitely. I feel like diversity today is just, it's so important.
Isn't it, really?
Definitely.
So in terms of when you were 17, 18, this first began.
Yeah.
How much of a competent person were you? Because I know because for people that don't know, I tried different bits of modelling in the last few years. For me, the main thing it helped and the main thing I got from it, from my point of view, was my confidence.
Yes.
So it helped it massively. So for me, taking the photos and putting on an outfit, the more and more I did it, it really did build my confidence up. It actually did help me feel better about who I was. So when you started modelling, were you quite a confident person or not? What were you personality-wise?
I'd say for your story, that's amazing to hear that. I'm so happy that you've had that experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. I suppose I wasn't that confident because I was quite shy in school. Yeah. So I was probably still a bit like that in college. So I just, yeah, and like it was very like unknown, and you know, like you feel unsure about yourself. But I'd say like over the years with getting older as well, I think it definitely has helped my confidence, and just like meeting different people, and everybody that I've worked with has been really nice. And yeah, so I definitely say it has helped my confidence. So
that's really nice, yeah. Isn't it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it is. I feel like just, yeah, talking to different people and everything, it is, it's really nice.
And I suppose as well, we'll get onto this more, but you meet so many different people, don't you, in this job? You've travelled to all different places, and you haven't been doing it very long, and in that short time you have done quite a lot, haven't you, really?
Oh, thank you. But yes, I'd say this, you do travel quite a lot with this job, whether it's just like local or
yeah
definitely.
So I suppose in terms of what happened next, do you remember when your like very first like test shoot was? Or like, I just wonder, because now, and obviously I'll leave your Instagram link, I'm seeing lots of very, very like high-end professional model-looking photos.
Oh.
But unless, I'm guessing, this is just me assuming now, I'm guessing they weren't always like that. Like, if you think back to your very first shoot, your very first couple of shoots.
Yeah.
What do you think has happened since then? Like, what was your first shoot like? Was it quite a nerve-wracking experience? Did you feel excited about it?
Yeah, I'd say like my first few shoots, because what happens is you start building your portfolio up, so you just start getting a lot of different images. Yeah, I was so scared, and I actually was sorting out the pictures on my laptop the other day and looking back. And it's really funny, because you just learn like how to move more, and you learn like what your looks are, and you learn your market, really. So it's really like interesting looking back. But yeah, no, I was terrified. I didn't really know what I was doing. I watched a lot of like America's Next Top Model to try and like learn. Yeah. But yeah, things like that. So yeah, I was definitely nervous. So yeah.
Wow. So that's so interesting. So do you know, when you're talking about your portfolio?
Yes.
How does, like, so for them to do this, and how do you go about that? Because I've just realised this, and I want to ask you about this as well. With portfolios, when I was a bit younger, I was searching online for different things. And I remember coming across a company where, you know, you could be charged, we're talking like sometimes thousands of pounds to have a professional portfolio. Like, what did you do?
Oh, yes, that there are a lot of like stories like that. But honestly, like, to build your portfolio, it really shouldn't cost you much, if anything at all. There are a lot of people like you know, willing to take advantage. So I'd say when you're getting into the industry, definitely be careful. Yeah. I'd say to start off with, definitely just getting like nice headshots, like Polaroid, sort of very natural. You can do it with your friend or your you know, your family member or anything. I feel like that's a good start to approach an agency with, or just the industry if you want to be freelance as well. But yeah, just I'd say with shoots, have some fun with it. Like, you could always get a group of friends together and just start.
It's quite open, isn't it, really? I think
definitely,
and I think that's an important one, because I know that sometimes there are people who will get sucked into these things, and there are quite a few like scam kind of things going on like that, where you might be charged a ridiculous amount of money just for a handful of photos, and it shouldn't cost that much at all, should it? Really shouldn't.
No, definitely not. And I feel like a lot of like young people trying to get into the industry, it is sad, like, sometimes listening to how much they've spent on a portfolio, and
they don't need to, do they? No, not at all.
I've actually
got some really good advice when it comes to this. So when I used to model, like, years ago, and I used to like dabble in modeling, I would get all of my shoots organized through Instagram.
Yes, definitely.
Social media is such an amazing tool. So for me, and for anybody listening, if you want to do a shoot with a photographer, but you aren't able to pay them, or you don't want to pay them, and you want to see if they will do, you know, if they will shoot you for free, there is a term called TFP shoots.
Yes.
Which I believe, is that trade for print, Polly? Is that right?
Time for print. Yeah, similar time meaning. Yeah.
So basically that means you will shoot with a photographer, and basically no money will change hands, because you'll get some photos out of it, and from their point of view, they will get more images for their portfolio as well.
Yes, it's the point you've brought up is such a good point. Like, that is such a good way to start, like getting a variety of pictures. Such a good way.
Actually, when you do these TFP shoots, what I used to do is I'd go take two or three or four outfits, and then you can get a whole dozen photos then with different outfits, and it just saves you so much money as well.
Definitely. It's such a good idea.
Because it's really funny, because I remember a few years ago looking at my photos, like reflecting on them, and I remember thinking that I must have shot with about 8 or 9 Birmingham-based photographers.
That's amazing.
And actually, I hadn't paid any of them anything.
Wow, that is amazing.
Just because they were all happy to do the TFP shoots. So whenever I was approaching anybody, I'd just say, do you shoot TFP? Of course, quite a few didn't. That's fine. I just moved on to somebody else.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, again, I know, this is a totally different subject, and I think it's probably a good one for a different time in terms of freelance photographers need paying, which right now I actually shoot all of my content with a photographer, my friend Jonathan. I do pay him for that.
Yes.
But when I was younger, in you know, college and university, I wasn't in a situation where I could afford to do that.
No.
So no, and people who want to enter the industry and they're worried about money, it shouldn't be a block policy, should it?
No, definitely not. Honestly, there's always so many options you can go down. But yeah, the TFP route is very good because, again, when you test as a model, you do that all the time as well. So yeah, it's really good getting creatives to work together and it benefiting you both.
So that's interesting with creatives. I was going to ask, do you have any online platforms or websites that you can recommend anybody who wants to connect with, say, a photographer and a makeup artist or something like that, or anybody in the industry?
I'd say, honestly, Instagram is one of the best.
Yeah,
I know so many people use it, and a lot of photographers sometimes, like if a model drops out last minute, they say, yes, looking for a model, you know, just always keeping your eye on Instagram and having, if you follow a local photographer that you love, put their notifications on, so whenever they need somebody, you might see it straight away, and it might just be your time, you know, you never know.
That's true. Also, I did hear about one website that I should recommend, and that's called Purple Port, I think it is.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Purple Port. Yeah, that's really, really good idea.
And from what I can gather, I believe it's free.
Yes, it is,
and
I think.
Essentially, it's really, and this is a good point as well, it's very similar to Instagram, because I've just realised that technically, if you're a model and you've got an Instagram platform with all your professional photos on, that is your portfolio in essence, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. Today, your Instagram
is
your portfolio. Yeah,
I was just thinking that, because this is another thing about accessing to industries. Years ago, you had to print it, you had to have everything all professionally done. Now, you can just go onto Instagram, upload them all, and you're good to go, aren't you, really?
100%. Yeah, definitely.
So
I couldn't agree
technically
more.
Technically, then, this is one of the best times to be a model.
Definitely, with everything, with social media and definitely Instagram, there's people always scouting online, so it is definitely one of the best times to try and get into the industry.
I absolutely love that. So do you know what I love about this podcast? Whenever I do one, we always go off on little tangents.
I love it
having a nice conversation.
Definitely nice natural conversation.
So when you were building up your portfolio and things were developing, do you, like, tell us about how did things go from you being somebody that was taking photos for a portfolio to then actually becoming an actual model? Like, there's a lot that goes into that, isn't there? It's taking photos and building up a portfolio is one thing, but then I think becoming a model is totally different. So how did you make that transition?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like your portfolio, like we were saying earlier, is your book of work, and it proves like how versatile you are and your look that you want to build up for essentially a job. Because when you've got your portfolio together, you go on castings, and that technically is job interviews for a potential shoot and everything. So I feel like with me, I just carried on building up my portfolio, and you approach agencies or anything like that, or even like, I know so many girls now that are freelance models and get so much work, so there's so many different like avenues you can go down. But portfolio is definitely just like one section of it. Yeah. And
so
then,
what did you do?
What did I do? I was building up my portfolio and moved from sort of a potential agency. So you do at the beginning, whether you, I don't know, you can definitely do it freelance, but it just depends how you feel, how comfortable you are with it. I know I moved from like a potential agency and now with a proper agency and main board with them. But yeah, there's so many different ways to do it. I mean, if you don't have any sort of contact to start building a portfolio up first, just get some Polaroids and approach an agency and you can do it with them as well. So it is all very different. But how I did it was build up my portfolio a bit with a potential agency and then sort of stopped, and now I've got a new agency. So it's all very like everybody's story is different.
It's interesting because I think there's so many options here, isn't there?
Definitely, there's so many options.
Like, would you say also, because I think this is a big one, does it depend on how much time you're willing to dedicate as well?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I feel like the people that are so determined sort of can get on really well. And it depends, like, with everything really about your attitude to the industry and everything. It's like a whole, yeah.
You know what, Polly, I would say in relation to that, that person you're referring to is you.
Really?
That's you, Polly.
Oh, my God.
Because obviously for the majority of the audience who don't know Polly, she works her absolute backside off to do everything that she does. She works really, really hard to do shoots, to balance it alongside her uni work and then, you know, paid jobs that she has. So you do work really hard, don't you, to balance it all together?
Oh, thank you so much. But honestly, you do as well. And you do. Honestly, you are one of the most hardworking people I know. Honestly,
but you know what, Polly, you inspire me as well, though, because you really do. You have this drive where you know, you can have all these portfolio shoots going on, but then you're also doing bits of uni work and then you're also socializing and spending time with your family. It's like a juggling act, isn't it?
Definitely. I feel like, yeah, today to, I suppose, like to follow your dream, you've just always got that drive, haven't you?
It's naturally there, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
Wow. This is like dreams to reality episode all over again. This is.
Oh.
But shout out to Dreams to Reality. I did that one last season, and it's just making me think of that because it's that cringy saying, isn't it? But you really do. If you have a dream and if you have something that you desperately want to achieve in this life, you've got to have self-belief and you've got to have a bit of dedication to it, haven't you?
Definitely. You've really got to. Yeah, I think that saying, you've just got to sort of just go for it. Like, even if you just have like a little inkling, like, oh, I wonder what happens if I do that, just pursue it, because you never know what could happen
and you never know what could come out of it either.
Exactly.
So you mentioned castings just.
Yes.
So for everybody who's like, what's a casting, because I've never really been to a casting either. So I'm like, what is a casting? What does it involve? You said it was a bit like a job interview, right?
Yes. Yeah. Every casting's different. But normally what happens is you like take your book, your portfolio of your work, and you meet a few people that could be potential agency or a job or anything really. And you go in and you normally take some pictures of you and they look through your book, your portfolio, and they sort of assess if you think you would fit the look for their brand or anything. Wow. But yeah, that is a casting.
So is a casting as well, when you go to one, do they already know what they're looking for?
I think a lot of brands already have an image in mind of what they are looking for. So you see, I mean, it can vary from like only a few people to like a room full of people. But I know when you're first starting out, a casting can be quite daunting. So what I would say is definitely don't compare yourself to anyone else in the room, because
it's very, very, very hard to do.
So honestly, so hard to do. And I feel like everyone does it when they first start out, because we're all, you know, we're all human, but
it's so natural to do it.
Of course it is, definitely. And it is really daunting. But I think as you sort of get more experience with castings, like, I'm still terrified when I go to some of them.
But they are quite nerve-wracking, I suppose, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. But yes, the brand normally does have a look in mind. But if you know you can just be, go in and do the best and be the nicest you can be, that's, you know, that's all you can do.
Do you know what? You've touched on a good point there. That's given me a bit of a brainwave. When people go to castings, would you say as well, it is very easy to maybe be offended? So I think it's a good thing, isn't it, to realise before you go in, if it's not a no to Polly, for example, it's just a no to either the look or the feel. It's nothing to be offended about, is it?
No, honestly, I'd say with any casting, don't take it personally at all. Yeah. Because it's just, they're looking at you as sort of an option for, yes, their look, but honestly, it's nothing to do with you. And I think looking at it as well from a designer's point of view, you sort of understand it if they don't. But no, honestly, I'd say just don't be offended, whatever the outcome, whatever they say.
Yes. So when you had like one of your first castings, do you remember those emotions that you were feeling?
Yeah, because it's so, definitely, it's so so nerve-wracking. It can be a bit overwhelming at times, yeah. And they normally, what I get scared of is when they ask you questions on the spot about sort of nothing to do with modeling, just sort of random like questions like, tell me a bit about yourself and things like that. So like any other normal job interview, really, for any job, they'll ask, yes, you. So it can get quite nerve-wracking. But
suppose you're kind of more used to it now, aren't you, compared to like a few years ago?
I think so. I mean, I still get a little bit nervous, but I think that's, you know, a little bit of nerves are natural for something you care about.
I think a little bit nervous, though, is a good thing, because it also shows that you really do care about the outcome. You care about what you're doing, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
So I think that brings me on very, very well to, and this is a huge one, like fashion weeks.
Yes.
Tell me about have you had experiences with fashion weeks before?
Yes, I have.
Wow, which ones?
Only a very small, very small part. It wasn't in London. It was based in the Midlands near Leicester. But
nice.
Yes, very small part of Fashion Week. But yes, that's still, I mean, the casting for that was still very, very daunting. But yeah.
So what are fashion weeks then? Is it, because to me, I'm like, is it just like fashion shows? Is it more than that?
The one I did was just a fashion show showcasing like a lot of designers' work.
Nice.
But if you go to like a bigger one, like the main event in London, I feel like that can sometimes be a bit more like there's shows and there's events and then there's sort of showrooms and everything.
Yes.
So yeah, but the one I was at was just a show.
So don't you think about like London Fashion Week, is that on your like bucket list? Is that something that you really hope to do one day in your career?
I think definitely, yeah, like try and work my way up. Now I've done like a little part of it, I want to sort of see if I can get
oh,
there.
I get you. You're like, not, now I've sampled a little bit, now you've got the full meal, don't you?
Yeah, try and work my way up.
Do you know why, Polly? It's because you're hungry for success.
Oh, I like that.
Do you know, so I think we've really got as well, all of those beautiful things are really great, but I think we've got to really speak about a few of the stigmas as well, haven't we?
Yes, yeah.
Have you, for example, because I know we've got to put this out there because I think a lot of people will be thinking, why haven't they spoken about it yet?
Yeah.
Have you ever been told you are too, I don't know, you're too overweight for something, too underweight? Have you ever been criticised for your weight, is what I'm trying to refer to?
Yes, weight and height.
Really? Tell us about the weight. In what way was that?
I think at the time it was a very sort of heat of the moment thing. But some people can be so like nice about it. And if you don't fit into, because before a show you have like a fit in,
right.
This actually happened at a fashion show. So yeah, you have a fitting and some designers are so nice and they say, oh no, don't worry. But some designers, I think at the heat of the moment when they're desperately trying to find someone, yeah, sometimes like some nasty words can get thrown and say, oh, you're too big for this and things like that. But again, please don't take it personally if that happens, because the majority of designers are absolutely lovely. It can just be the odd ones because they're panicking as well. And I think if you think about it afterwards, you sort of look back and think, oh okay, they were really like stressed out, but in the heat of the moment you take it personally. but I'd say definitely don't take it personally, because, you know.
So when you were criticised for your weight, and obviously from what they were saying was too big, and obviously I know people can't see you right now, but there's going to be a photo of you, and I think it's pretty clear that you are not at all in the slightest. You're very tall and slim, right? Let's be clear on that.
So, thank you.
How did, because, you know, I know for me, like, how did that make you feel when that was said? Because I know for me, I am a confident person.
Yeah.
But I think the minute somebody said that, I think I'd kind of, I don't think I'd take it very well, if I'm being honest.
I sort of, and it did make me upset. I think I started, because when somebody tells me something like that, I just start to cry. I know people have, like, different emotions they go to.
I think that's kind of natural, though, isn't it? It's either cry or get angry, isn't it, really?
Yeah, the two. Like, yeah, I just cried and then, like, went to the toilet. But
just kind of, like, had a minute to breathe.
had a minute. Because
that side of the industry that you just referred to, that actually isn't so nice, is it, really?
No, it is the less sort of,
However, though, nice side. I think from what you've said and what we've spoke about before this podcast, would you say that although, yes, still a lot of models are criticised for being overweight and things like that, would you say that that's starting to dissipate?
I'd say 100% it is starting to get better. Like we were talking about earlier with diversity, I think, at the minute in the modelling industry.
Models, and I think...
Yes.
Like, I think to myself, well, that's amazing that that's happening, but then you do at the same time in 2020, you still see the whole, you know, the Victoria's Secret models that are put through all sorts of, like, things in terms of their diet. So I think the new stuff's amazing, but maybe there's still a little bit of progress to be made still, so it's all a bit more even.
Yeah, definitely, but I'd say it is 100% getting better with all these, like, new categories and models, and it's nice to see.
Positive, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
And I think for you especially, would you say that, and I'm sure a lot of people will say this as well, I bet for you that the good of this job does outweigh the bad, doesn't it? You've got so many more positives, haven't you, to refer to?
Oh, 100%. I feel like, with any job, there's highs and there's lows, definitely. But yes, I'd say the positives definitely do outweigh the negatives.
So, like, I'm really curious. Do you know, before you have to do, like, a casting or, like, a big shoot or a show or something?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of things do you have to do? Like, what do you have to, like, do you have to change things about your routine? Do you have to, like, add stuff? Like, do you have to, like, take things away?
Normally if I know I've got a shoot, like, it depends. I try to eat quite healthily anyway, but you try to sort of step it up a bit more and, like, maybe, like, go to the gym a bit more, but obviously still staying healthy. Like, I'd never, like, starve myself or anything, but exercise and eating healthily and things like that.
And that is a really, really, really good point, because I know it's a very sensitive topic, but that's in terms of, like you said, I've never starved myself. That, I suppose, is what some people could do if they were in a situation where they felt that they had no other option. If they didn't, they wouldn't, you know, be living their dream, so to speak. So I think it's really important to stay true to yourself in anything in life, isn't it? Because I don't think anything's worth it, is it? Nothing is worth risking your health for.
I know it is. This is such a sad topic, like, of the area of the industry, but definitely, like Jack said, stay true to yourself and surround yourself with good, like, family and friends. And I feel like in the industry there's always somebody to talk to, there's always, like, another model or anything. Just don't sort of suffer in silence. Like, there's always going to be somebody to talk to about it,
because this is in a different country, but I hear, like, a lot of stories about models in America in particular. And models in America having these kind of things where they feel like they have to starve themselves, and they don't eat for, like, 3 days before doing one of these shows. And it's like, whoa, I think maybe there is a bit of a difference as well between countries in terms of the modeling industry.
I think maybe, yeah, possibly, but
because nothing's universal, is it, really?
No.
People are operating different ways, I think, in different places. I think that's another thing to be mindful of.
Yeah.
Is that if you hear certain stories about the industry, I think, like everything in life, and this is what I've learned from a lot of experience, you really need to just sample it for yourself first.
Yes, definitely.
Because I'm talking about everything. We can hear horror stories about all these different places and things and experiences, but sometimes we need to, of course, take caution with everything in life, but sometimes we need to put all of those preconceived ideas aside.
Definitely.
And to give it maybe just give it a go. And if it isn't for you, that's absolutely fine, isn't it?
Exactly. At least, like, if you had, like, you really wanted to try it, at least you've tried it and you've experienced it for yourself. But yeah, I definitely say, if you want to get into the modeling industry, don't let the stories scare you.
Exactly.
Because I'd say, like we were talking about, it's definitely getting so much better with all these new, like, ranges of diversity, and it is so amazing to see. And like with any job, that is only a very small percentage the bad. The good definitely outweighs the bad, and you could have, like, the most amazing experience and absolutely love it.
Wow. Oh, I absolutely love that.
Oh.
When you're talking about it, I can really tell you have so much passion for this, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like you said, like, I've seen a lot of stories of girls and everything, but, yeah, it's just, yeah.
I would say so, for you, though, you are staying true to who you are. That's what I would say. And we've spoken in depth about this privately, haven't we, where,
oh yeah,
I've said to you, you're doing this for the right reasons, and this is what,
yeah,
you want to do, and you still stay in the poly that we know, and it's not,
aww,
changing you in that way, is it? You're still the same person.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, I think definitely don't let the industry change you, because I think, yeah, don't let it get carried away with you. But thank you for that, that means a lot. So yeah,
well, yeah, because I was thinking before the podcast that how long have we known each other for now? Has it been, I feel really bad. Is it two or three years?
Yeah, 2 years, I think. Yeah.
So I'd say we've known each other for 3 years, but we've been very good friends for,
yes,
two.
That's true, actually. That is true. Yeah.
Because it's funny, isn't it, for me and you, although obviously for people that don't have a clue what I'm talking about, me and Polly actually met through university. So I was doing, at the time before I graduated, I was doing my media PR degree.
Yes.
And Polly was doing her fashion degree, and it's really funny because actually we didn't meet because of the course or anything like that. We're on two courses. It was through a mutual friend, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And it just kind of, I always say this, but it's so interesting. It's one of those where me and Polly, like, we had interactions, and like we were friends, but it was more like a mutual thing. It wasn't, we weren't very, very close friends.
No, and it's just progressed.
It just kind of grew so organically, didn't it?
It did, yeah, definitely.
And I think that's totally off topic, but that's a great mention in terms of, like, things growing organically. Like, you should never force anything in life, I've realised, in terms of friendships, in terms of, like, a career. Don't force it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think the minute you force it, it doesn't work. Like, with our friendship, we just let it, it just naturally took its course, didn't it?
100%. And yeah, you can apply this to anything. Like, what you're
that's
saying
what
is,
I mean,
completely true. Like, let everything grow organically and never force anything.
But I think going back to, like, the law of attraction as well in the universe, when you put out something in terms of, you might say, I want to do this casting one day, this shoot one day, this show one day, and then you say it, you don't even need to say it again, and you've already put that intention out there.
Definitely, 100%.
So that's why I'm not always about people having to. And I've actually set this as a goal. And one of my goals, ironically, was to stop obsessing over my goals so much.
Honestly, I think I'm the same with that.
How ironic is that? The goal was to stop obsessing over
my
goals.
Yeah, the goal was...
Because, you know why? I think sometimes we have goals, but then we're so kind of obsessed about the goal that's all of our focus. And then that doesn't work then.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you.
So I think it's almost like in any area of life, do what you want to do and work on what you want to work on, but also leave some room for interpretation.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that is what this situation that we're in right now, in terms of having to work from home and things like that, has really given me time to realise, is that what I'm working on right now, and I know it's the same for you, I'm really working on something that I truly believe is going to be what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life.
Yes.
That both of us, I know, we're in it for the long haul.
Yes, definitely.
And I think with anything, any career, if there is anybody listening who is interested in being a model, I think it's kind of important to think, is this really what you want to do? Because yeah. I think there's different versions, isn't there? You could have this as a hobby.
Yes, of
That's
course.
That's what I was going to say. You don't have to have this as your full-time career.
No, not at all.
Would you say for you, Polly, I know you're really interested in, obviously, fashion designing. Is that something you can see in your future, or is it, or where do you see things leading after here?
Definitely. I'd say after university, I think I will go back into modelling. But because I do love fashion design, I still definitely want to keep doing that as well and just literally see where it goes, see what happens.
See, I love that because you're keeping your options open, aren't you, really?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And I think, same with me, I think it's nice to have more than one thing you want to do, because for me, obviously, I'm all about like motivating and helping other people.
Yeah.
But within that statement, there's so many things, from my speaking to, you know, writing things to releasing things to, you know, workshops. And I mean, there's all sorts of things within that kind of spectrum.
Yes, definitely. What's Similar. That saying?
You mean I know what you're going to say, having your fingers in many pies.
Yeah. You know, I love that saying, but yes, it's so true.
But I suppose it's right for you there as well, in terms, like, that's what's interesting with the modeling industry. And that brings me on to a really good one. In terms of the modeling industry, there's more than one avenue you can go down.
Oh, definitely.
But tell us about that, people who are interested. So it's not just in the modeling industry. There's, I'm only going to say the few that I know, there's photographers, there's models, but there's also like PR and social media, and there's also designers. So what would you say in terms of options there are for people? It's not just about the modelling of the clothes, is it?
No, not at all. There's honestly, the whole team bring an image together. So like you were saying, and there's stylists, and then the lighting, and, you know, everybody that makes team, makeup artists, hairstylists.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
So if you're interested in any of the, like, area of the creative industry, like, there's so many options to go down, like you were just saying, there's so many avenues you can explore.
And I think as well, for there's also the option of doing kind of fashion communication as well, isn't there?
Yes, 100%.
And I know for sure, isn't that something that you're interested in also?
Yes, I love communication. So yes, with design again, there's design, making the clothes, like garment technology, or communication, which I, like rightly said, I love communication. So,
and also fashion, I was thinking like fashion editors and like magazines.
Yes, yeah, definitely. There's so many different jobs within the fashion industry.
And there's also, I suppose, as well, which is a huge one, there's also like social media assistants that specialise in fashion as well, isn't there?
Yes, now there's assistants that are just based for Instagram or just
it's interesting, because literally when you go to shows now and like shoots, you'll see somebody capturing all this stuff on their iPhone, and that's their job, isn't it? Their job is literally to capture things, to tweet and blog about things,
to like create awareness around the brand or the show or anything.
I think that's cool though, because even if you're somebody who actually isn't really interested in modeling the stuff, you don't think that's for you, there's so many options.
Oh, there's so many options in that. Yeah, definitely. There's,
I absolutely love that. It's so accessible, Polly. I love it.
It is, especially today, like we were saying earlier, there's like no better time.
So really, there's literally no better time to do this. So this is like, isn't this podcast perfect timing?
It is.
And I guess we've got to touch on it. I always touch on this. I guess in general, but also in terms of being a model, would you say it's ever had an effect on your mental health?
I would say at the beginning, yes, because definitely you doubt yourself, you compare yourself, everything like that. And you have bad days and good days. And it's very up and down. But yes, I'd say definitely. Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah.
But how I know this is a really hard question, but how do you stop that? How do you stop the comparing?
It is so hard, but like we were saying before, if you walk into a room full of like beautiful girls at a casting, and you just sort of, I immediately doubt myself and I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to get this or anything. But I think with like experience, you never know what they're going to be looking for, like the agency or casting directors or brands, you never know what they're going to look for. So I think it is a case, like maybe you, everybody's story is different. So I know some girls who have gone to their first casting and have got like the most amazing job, but everybody's path is different. So I'd say definitely don't compare yourself. And it is hard, but it is something that is learnt, like as you go along, and just learn to believe in yourself. And if you work hard, like you'll get there. Like, yeah,
Would you say that, because I know with you especially, you are one of the most positive people that I know. Would you say that your positive attitude is testament to what you've done in terms of the industry and kind of everything that you've done since? Like, has your positive attitude really helped you?
Yes, I'd say definitely, because I feel like if you go into the industry with not positive attitudes, No, I'd say, yeah, definitely keeping positive and just be nice to everyone and, you know, things like that. It keeps you going.
I think as well, it's really having that self-belief.
Yes, definitely.
Because when you are knocked back, and we all have like knockbacks in life and setbacks.
I really
don't like to say like failures, because for me, I don't really believe in the term failure so much, because I don't see it as that.
Yeah.
When someone says they fail, I just see that as, okay, you did something, it didn't work out, you've got feedback from that. Okay, we'll move on and we'll do something different. That's fine.
Yeah.
I try not to see, because failure is such, even saying the word out loud, it's got such a negative like kind of effect on it, hasn't it? It's got such a negative connotation.
Yes.
So actually, I don't think there's a such thing as a failure. It's more so, okay, this didn't work out. It just didn't work out, and that's okay. And we'll try again. And if you go to a casting or go to a job interview, it's a no. You've not failed. You're not a failure.
No, of course not.
It's literally just that it wasn't meant for you.
Exactly. It's almost like a reroute, isn't it? So if you go for something and don't get it, maybe try something. You know, yeah, definitely. Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah, and if you choose to believe in it or not, the law of attraction, it's like if it is a no and it is a different route, it's because that wasn't meant for you.
Yeah.
And that is what I wholeheartedly believe, because I've had, you know, a great example, a huge example that I've actually not mentioned on the podcast before. Wow, I've literally not ever mentioned this ever. So to cut a long story very short, I had an audition at a performing arts academy.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So this is going back, 2015. So 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'd done a year of college and I wanted to go to this performing arts academy because at that time I was a singer.
Amazing.
So in college I did singing, and it got to the point where there was people, you know, the lecturers at my college thought I should maybe audition for this performing arts academy because I was getting quite good at it.
Yeah.
And I went to this audition, and you know, I did it. Like, I remember what I sang. I sang "Feeling Good" by Michael Bublé.
Really? Oh my god, that's amazing.
That wasn't my downfall, which is, again, it shows it doesn't really matter. Like, that was, they were really happy with, but it came to the music in theory size and like the notes on the piano and all those things.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it at all. And a few months later, I found out I hadn't got in. And at that moment, at that time, it was like the worst thing ever. I was so upset. Because I've looked back and since realised that actually when all these things happen, a lot of the time we are very, very distraught in the moment.
Yes.
We aren't happy about it. We can't see a silver lining. We can't see a way forward.
No.
And again, it wasn't meant to be. And I'll tell you why it wasn't. And that's because if I was going to go there, it would have been for 2 years. So instead, what I did was I went to a different performing arts college this time, a different one, for one year. And then after that 1 year, I started at Birmingham City University, where I just graduated from.
That's amazing.
Doing something totally different. So I was never meant to go to that academy, because if I was going to go to that academy, I would not have had the option to go to university like I did now.
Wow.
So it just shows that although at that time I couldn't see why this was happening, looking back, I totally get it.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like you were just saying, in the moment everything can seem quite sad and you're asking why, but if you look back, like you've just said, like everything makes sense.
Everything makes perfect sense then, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Oh, do you know what, Polly? I think that's a really good conclusion to our podcast.
It is, I agree.
Guys, we've been talking for almost an hour. How does this happen?
Really? Oh my God, the time has just flown by.
I always say before gym, oh, I wonder if it will get to an hour. And then I'm like, oh, okay, basically has been. Polly, I just want to say thank you so much.
Oh, honestly, thank you so much for having me.
Have you enjoyed it?
I have loved it.
So
loved it.
Anybody listening, would you, like, I always ask everybody this, can you give us like a few kind of some closing thoughts and words of wisdom? What would you say to anybody right now listening to this podcast who feels really revved up and inspired, not just to maybe be a model, but for anything? Like, give us some lasting words if you don't mind.
No, of course not. I'd say with anything, just honestly, if you've got that inkling or anything, like you just want to experience it, I'd say definitely go for it. Like, there's no time like the present. And honestly, if, like we were saying, like if it doesn't work out, like honestly, it's okay. At least you've had a go. But again, it might be like the best thing you've ever done. So honestly, just go for any of your dreams and just wow. Try it. Just try it.
Oh, that is real talk. And you know what, Polly? At the best end of this podcast, as you just said, you'll never know if you don't do it.
Exactly. Honestly, I think
you've got to go for it.
You have. You just got to go.
From my end, if there's anybody listening to this who's like, I've never ever considered modeling, but I want to give it a go, you know, get out your iPhone, get a friend. You don't even need a camera, do you now? Get out your iPhone.
No.
I remember last year I did a shoot and I've on my iPhone on the portrait mode.
Yes.
It's so interesting. On that day, my friend took some photos on a DSLR camera and then she also took some on my iPhone. And I promise you, the iPhone photos were better quality.
Honestly, today, yeah, like you were saying, with portrait mode, it's amazing.
So the photo I ended up posting was the one that was taken on the iPhone because it was just so much better.
That's amazing.
So, if you're in self-isolation right now, get out into your garden.
Yeah.
Take some photos, take some inside if you want, take some fashion stuff. Like even find a white wall in your house and just take some headshots if you want. I mean,
yeah,
so
definitely.
There
is so many options.
And I love the fact as well now that there's all these like tutorials online on YouTube. So there's so many options of like doing like photos and editing. Like, honestly, we could talk forever about that, couldn't we?
Oh, definitely. There's so many options.
I love this. Polly, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
You
thank
are
you.
Beyond inspiring. I'm so, so proud to call you my friend. And
oh,
I just,
thank
I adore
you so
you,
much. Honestly, all the same back at you. I've never met a more inspiring person. You are amazing.
Oh, you're so lovely. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the April episode. Oh my gosh, time is just going so, so fast. I'm sending you so much love, so much positivity. I hope you're doing really well, guys. I know it is a hard time, but I'm sending you all so much love and strength. We've got this. This is why I'm continuing to make this podcast, because honestly, a few days ago I thought, should I do it? But I thought, no, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing as far as I can, because we've got to continue putting out that love to the universe. We've got to continue giving the love, putting the love, sharing the love. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining me. Polly, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Guys, I'll see you soon. Bye, guys. Hi everyone, thank you so much for listening to a brand new episode of A Slice of Life with me, Jack Walton. Please rate, share and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever else you get your episodes from. Don't forget to follow me on social media, I am Jack Walton, and my new business page, Motivator Boy, to keep up to date with everything I've got going on. With thanks to our podcast producer, Hassanul Haque, this month's guest, Polly Wadker, and to you, the viewer, for listening. See you next month.